Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, my favorite time each week. Hopefully the same for you. Today's title, Chronic Infections of Unknown Origin and What to Do About It. That is, chronic infections of unknown origin and what to do about it. Maybe it's not you, but listen anyway, because you never know. And if it is you, boy, is this show up your alley, because I have a very good sense of what you've been through. As always, understanding is the key, not running around like a chicken without a head, afraid of everything that goes bump in the dark. Knowledge, my friends, get the knowledge. It's not that hard. Have you ever been diagnosed by anybody with some form of a microbe? Now, microbes spin and span the pendulum from prions to nanobacteria all the way up to big fat parasites who are as, well, the tapeworm is what, 30 feet long sometimes? Microbes, unicellular, multicellular, and not cellular at all, as in those little retroviruses. Microbes, you can't see them, but they know where they are, and they can see you. And we've got a long history behind the history of trying to figure out what to do about what you can't see. Back before the microscope, when we couldn't see them, we still knew they were there. Chinese history, Chinese medicine, Egyptian medicine. Everybody knew along the way that if you kissed the wrong person or someone coughed in your face, what they had, you got. So we observed this. Empirically derived notions, meaning you see it and common sense tells you something's moving across person to person. So we knew they were there, and we even had concepts. I mean, fascinating in the day and age of all this debate about vaccine, were the Chinese, in response to smallpox, taking the crusts from smallpox victims. I don't mean nursemaids to the cow. I'm not talking cowpox. They were taking the crust to dead people's smallpox, grinding them up into powder, and then snorting them. That's genius. That's where vaccinations really began. Take some variant of the microbe, put it into your body, cripple it, and then let your immune system go back at it. I mean, microbial history is endlessly fascinating. Most of us have been suckered into the germ theory. Now, what do I mean by the germ theory? And we're going to get today, over the next 55 minutes, into how the germ theory is morphing into other concepts. As always, I'm going to ask you to hybridize your understanding of what that darn microbe is and what to do about it. You got to come at it from different angles. But the history of medicine, at least the last 300 years or so, teaches us that the germ theory prevails. Now, this germ theory, go to picture number 3. If you're new to the website or if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc with 2 T's. Go to picture number 3, today's show. What is it? Show 230 what? 232. Show 232. What is germ theory? Picture number 3. Microbes cause illness. I even did something better. Go to the top of that page. Click to view slides on germ theory. So click this on germ theory. Click that link at the top. Go to the bottom. Look at the slides. And now you can go to slide one, slide two. Look at slide number two. Microbes cause illness. When you go to Kaiser, when you go to infectious disease, when you go to anybody today in the Western field of medicine, they are giving you the Pasteurian model. Whether it's the flu you got last week, the flu you're going to get this winter, hepatitis C, AIDS, Lyme disease, you name it. Something from the outside got in, and these microbes cause illness. And these microbes very often can spread. And a specific microbe exists for each illness, which always invokes the same illness. That's kind of the basics of the germ theory. Now, if you go back to the history of it, well, look at that. That's this slide three. They're going to go all the way back to 500 BC. It wasn't until the bubonic plague hit the Middle Ages that the idea that diseases could be transmitted from one person to another was thought up. So we're going back to 500 BC, and it really isn't until the bubonic plague in the 14, 1300s that we're really understanding that you can transmit a disease from one person to another, but we don't know what a disease is. We only know that something happens. And if you continue, you watch this yourself. You scroll along. It talks about all sorts of names that are long lost to history that are part of a consortium of very skilled, very intelligent, very clinically experienced doctors, from Pasteur to Robert Koch, a whole slew of microbiologists who gave their life to understanding the germ theory of disease. And I'll let you look into that yourself later on today. But the exciting point to this show, I mean, most people are acquainted with the fact that germs cause disease, but what you don't know when you go to picture four, picture number four. Now, the guy on the right, maybe some of you know, that's Louis Pasteur. But the guy on the left, I'm going to ruin his pronunciation. Antoine Béchamp, Bécamp, B-E-C-H-A-M-P. A fellow Frenchman, equally credentialed, credited with evolving a perception of this germ theory that was very different than Pasteur, that competed with Pasteur, that argued, and that some say, well, we know the story, at the end of his life, Pasteur relented and agreed that Antoine was correct. Go to picture number five. Picture number six. Antoine or Pasteur, a lost chapter in the history of biology. Great stuff. Where is that today, the medical model? You're not going to find it. You're going to find an endless amount of money invested into pharmaceuticals, particularly vaccines in this case, to tell you that we have to kill the germ. But way back when, men of equal stature, equal skill, equal financing, had very different perceptions. This is so important today. And, you know, the real test, you know, we can all sit back and enjoy a show. The real test is when you have night sweats, you can't remember your name, you have no energy, your income is imperiled, you've got sores on your body. You've got all sorts of weird symptoms that are debilitating you. And you have the entire weight of a Western model telling you that Pasteur is right and that we've got to find this thing. And once we find it, we've got to kill it. That's when the rubber hits the road. That's why I talk the way I talk. Because I know that lots of people choke in the clutch. And that can be lethal. The number of people I have seen over 20-something years now that come in with 15 feet of lab tests and data and biographies and symptomology, and then want to sit down with 15 hours of biography about how much they've suffered. The number of people I've seen, unbelievable. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And no one can find out what it is. If you listen to my show today, this show will change your life if you can just take it in. Are you ready to have that moment of enlightenment? And as you know, I never want to make this show some sort of a rah-rah, a bunch of hippies in a park just rah-rahing about those healing energies that come from the atmosphere. I don't like to do that. I like to show you that men of science competed in another day and age often with the men of science that prevailed, and their works, like Antoine, just gather dust, and that they need resurrection. Generally, your holistic models were founded by scientists, not nutritionists, not acupuncturists, not chiropractors. Again, not knocking anybody. But I harp on the science thing because our culture understands that scientists have the eminent view of reality. That's the language of Orange County. What does the scientist say? That's the language of the Western world. The Chinese and the Indians, who birthed these wonderful traditions, have the unfortunate biasness now in their own countries, the very progenitors of holistic traditions, that science reigns supreme. So I like to talk science. And here's this gentleman back competing with Pasteur. Metchnikov was another one. And today we have doctors that are talking about the germ theory and giving it enormous challenge. So let's get into the specifics of this. Go to picture 7. I am afraid to say this guy's last name because I know I'm going to hack it. So I'll just call him Antoine. Picture number 7, 1816 to 1908, lived to 92. Germs are born in us. And you see, this is the kind of thing that turns classically trained microbiologists upside down and inside out. Germs are born in us. It tends to make you think that they're saying all germs are born in us. Of course, that is not the case. Father of pleomorphism. This is slide number 7, picture number 7 on the website. Father of pleomorphism. That meant that all these germs change shape. They change places. They're like ghosts. They're polymorphously perverse. It means that when you're looking for Lyme disease, when you're looking for Epstein-Barr, when you're looking for Syndrome X, when you're looking for chlamydia, when you're looking for Kuru, when you're looking for an infinite number of microbes that we think you have, but we can't be sure you have it, but we've tested, but we've searched, so on and so forth, and in the end, we come up with nothing. Nothing definitive. That's the classic trait of lots of bugs. The bug that you're looking for may not be there right now. It may be there tomorrow, and then when you look for it, it may be gone. It may be in your blood. It may be inside your cell. It may be in between your cells. We know bugs have intelligences, but one thing that Antoine was saying a long, long time ago is that they change form. And this confounds diagnosis. And this makes diagnosis very murky. Now, here's the point. I want you to catch the subtlety. The murkiness of diagnosing something like, say, Lyme allows imposters. It allows people in the health field to capitalize via inconclusive testing, the antibody tests being one, and scaring the dickens out of people. So you got to understand the sides here. There are germs out there, bacteria, parasites, viruses, that we have dead on from years ago. And if we say you got it, you got it. And then we have germs that have not been defined. To make matters worse, they're pleomorphic. If your amoeba has gone, we know amoeba, Entamoeba histolytica, is a single-celled parasite that comes in through your GI tract. Once it leaves the GI tract, becomes chronic, and goes into your systemic circulation, it can eat the inside of your brain. It's very difficult to diagnose it. But it's not pleomorphic. It doesn't change form. It's just difficult to find. What are we going to do? Suck out the inside of your brain, put it in a blender, and look for an amoeba. I mean, that's what it comes down to sometimes. These things can hide in places that you cannot find them. And we know this on autopsy. You don't like to think about it, but lots of science has evolved from dead people. I don't know what the moral issue is. Not the span of the show to discuss that, but lots of science comes from dead people and animals. And it's a cost-benefit sort of a perception, which isn't something modern-day society is so willing to embrace. But think about the bubonic plague. Think about the Spanish flu. We lost a quarter of Europe to the Spanish flu. I think something like, I don't know what it was, 500 million people. I mean, unbelievable numbers of people died from the Spanish flu in that 1918, circa 1918. Now weigh that reality up against experimenting on animals. At any rate, the point is, some microbes we can nail, some microbes we can't find, but some microbes change forms. They're pleomorphic. Antoine understood the pleomorphic aspect to animals. Many forms, many functions. Germs are transmutations of organized healthy cells. Germs do not cause disease. Germs come from within. Germs are nothing. The terrain is everything. Again, are you a Republican or are you a Democrat? You know, human nature is this way, and usually the truth is in the middle. But right now, most reality, most infectious disease, in fact, all infectious disease is given to Pasteur. And that means you get hurt. Because you are doing, in your frenzy of fear, you are making that horrid mistake. Because you're listening to something inside you that's giving you joint pain. It's giving you memory issues. It's robbing you of your sleep. It's giving you hot flashes. It's robbing your life, your virility. It's making you endlessly fatigued, and you're looking for it. I concluded this after watching hundreds of people do it. I understand why people do it. Because America is, predominantly speaking, an infectious disease culture. So years ago, a long time ago, we had a different perception of reality. So the first thing you've got to do, if you've got chronic illness, infectious disease of unknown origin, is change your attitude. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter that you're in pain and that you suffer. It doesn't matter that your life's been robbed. It doesn't matter that no one understands you, that everybody thinks you're just fine because you look good, but you can't stand up for more than 10 minutes a day. It doesn't matter if you're going to get out of the hole you're in, you're going to have to change your perception. And that means, I'll give it to you really simple. Forget the microbe and get healthy. Oh, yes. But I am, and I'm still in pain. Then do the things you need to do to get healthier. Oh, yes, I did. But what do you think's causing that joint pain? We don't care. You see, here's the thing. Are you going to fixate on the pain and the microbe? Are you going to live in the negative emotion of your illness? Or are you going to let all that go and just get healthy? Now, there's a lot of science here. Antoine was not wrong. The doctrine of pleomorphism is real. Pasteur, as brilliant as he was, only had part of this figured out. But it still comes down to the fact that you're going to not focus on the fact that you haven't slept a good night's sleep in 10 years. That you live in pain. Can you get up in the morning and go to work and feel tired and have indigestion and have sweats and have a headache and feel irritable? Can you go to work tomorrow morning, rather Monday morning, and feel all those things and not focus on your pain and not focus on your disease and not underneath it all be angry at God and stamp your feet that you've got this darn thing in you that nobody can figure out? That's what you have to do. Now, you deserve a lot of respect if you can do that. But you have to change your attitude. Chronic infectious disease of unknown origin and what to do about it. That is the first thing you do. Give yourself a brain lift. And if you can't hang on to anything in that long, stormy night of insomnia or pain or hacking cough or whatever, just understand, men of science back this statement. You know when people heal? People heal when they cross this very, very significant barrier. I have a client of mine that's been generally sick for 4 years. And for all 4 years, this client's been stamping his feet in the ground. Whether he could admit it or not, he's stamping his feet in the ground because he's lost, in his own mind, 4 years of his life. And it was only after he was pushed to the brink of death that he decided to let go. And in 20 years of doing this, it's not until people get to the point where they realize this is not a detour, this is the beginning of an exciting journey, where your pain syndrome becomes interesting to you. Because this whole world of self-discovery opens up. And people listening, and I've been there so many times with people, they love to look at you and say, yeah, but you've never experienced this type of pain. Well, first of all, most people never consider that lots of people have been through variations of their pain. Everyone likes to turn their pain into a sacrament. And then the only people that can talk about that pain are people in their club who have exactly the same diagnosis. And then everybody gets together and sort of, you know, pities each other. And what a terrible thing to say. But I'm going to say it anyway, because you see, if you watch people move themselves out of chronic infectious disease, they must get to the point where they embrace Antoine's perception that they have to change their terrain, and you will not have the energy to change your terrain and get healthy if you're focused on the microbe. So you got to understand how far-reaching these perceptions of health and disease run. They become your theology. Find it, kill it, exterminate it. And if you can't find it, keep hunting it. That's not science. That's a philosophy. That's a theology. Because the minute you're embarking upon the kill it theory, you're asking God why God has robbed you of a decade or two or three or four of your life. And if you want to see where the devil lives, you're looking at him. If you're doing that, if you're hunting the microbe and you haven't been able to find it, and you're in that state, that is the devil. See, we're not allowed to integrate like this. We're not allowed to say, what could a person of science? I am at least a budding scientist, even in the classic sense of the word. I definitely have amassed a tremendous amount of clinical experience. I've seen a lot of sick people whose mechanisms are not working. Their healing mechanisms have failed them. And I'm not allowed to talk about the fact that healing begins when you cross that line into God. Meaning, you understand that your journey depends upon not stamping your feet and hunting for a microbe, but feeding yourself with everything that can ignite a healing response. And if you don't know the difference between the two, if you don't know what to do to heal and how to bring precision to the process, that's what the healing is, the art of defining that within your experience. Healing is a trial and error experience. It is an experiment. So let's go back to the title of the show. Chronic Infections of Unknown Origin and What to Do About It, show 232. We started with the germ theory, which isn't a bad theory. The germ theory and Pasteur and the rest of them have saved a lot of life. But Antoine, Metchnikoff, Enderlin, and others were arguing with that from the beginning. But for John Q. Public to activate on the biology of the terrain, that the terrain is everything and the germ is nothing, for the public, for you, John Q. Public, to activate that, you can't focus on the disease. And the disease or the germ is part of a theology, and it makes you angry or hopeless. When the Garden of Eden is before you, which is simply to understand that changing the terrain means bringing, through trial and error, experimentation, a greater precision into your mechanism, a greater precision in your ability to understand what feeds health in you in any given moment. This is not poetry. I am not talking poetry. I am not talking metaphor. I'm talking about the reality of people who are locked in chronic infectious disease of unknown origins for a year to 2 years to 5 years to 10 to 20 to 30. And I'm saying to you that scientists have backed this all the way to today. Picture number two. That's Plague Time, Paul Ewald. Picture one, that's a picture of him. How stealth infections cause cancers, heart disease, and other deadly ailments. As we evolve technology from better versions of the electron microscope to more precise testing, as pathology diagnostic technology evolves, we're seeing more and more animals the same way when many of us were children understanding the atom. There was electrons, protons, and neutrons. No one was talking about quarks or neutrinos. Nor was anyone talking about prions and nanobacteria. And you know where this is going to go. Infectious disease, as technology evolves, is going to to offer us emerging out of the improvement in technology as it relates to infectious disease are going to be an infinite array of tiny little things causing hell in your life that you never knew about and we never knew about. And you can bet your bottom dollar that modern science, classic science, is going to generate gazillions of dollars in an effort to genetically engineer all sorts of antiviruses, antiprions, antimicrobes, all sorts of games we're going to play to go after and track these things down that we've just discovered to neutralize and kill them. As genetic testing takes over the dominant medical terrain of the next 50 years, you are going to see analysis is done in search of finding the microbe with ever more sophisticated technologies. This is going to get so confusing and so pharmaceutically dominated, you are going to see a plague of its own. You have to understand, it will be a different type of plague. It will be a spiraling of chronic disease, often related to infection. We won't even discuss toxicology. So you've got to get yourself rooted. Get yourself rooted now in understanding that what we're missing ever more today, what we are missing, is what Antoine was saying at the beginning of microbiology. Now, Ewald in Plague Time is saying, whether it's the terrain or the microbe, here's the news. I'm Paul Ewald. I'm a biologist. I'm award-winning. I wrote this book. Here's the news. It's just not about the flu and pustules on your face from some microbe. We're talking cancer. We're talking heart disease. What this means is many diseases that were formerly just what we called diseases of unknown origin, like cancer, say, or heart disease. Heart disease is plaque. Plaque builds up, arteries get plugged, boom, you have a heart attack. What we're saying now is we take that heart out, we put it in a blender, and we look for bugs. And we find all sorts of bugs we didn't know were there. And this happens consistently, and we can actually link the bug to the type of disease. That's what he's talking about. It's just the beginning. Now, here's what made matters more complicated and more fascinating. Here's what's even more complicated. I'm going to get back to this part of it later. Go all the way down to picture number 37. No, go to picture number 39. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I've got backgrounds in various fields. I health counsel people, try to give them insight and a way to take action on diagnoses that other people have given them. I don't diagnose. I just teach your body how to find healing mechanisms, latent, often defective, when we turn those mechanisms on. The body is made to heal. But I'm not your everyday holistic practitioner, you see. I have a very strong affinity for good science. I truly believe good science is the basis for holistic medicine. Not witchcraft, not exaggerated claims, not dogma, no different than allopathic dogma. Dogma's everywhere. Dogma should not be anywhere. Absorb what's useful. Picture 39. What is a biofilm? It's a structured community of bacterial cells. It's viruses too. It's parasites. It's prions. It's nanobacteria. It's communities of different types of animals. And that community has walled itself off so it can survive a hostile environment, like immune system cells hunting it down. In a sense, cancer, a malignancy, a tumor is a biofilm, in a sense. Bacteria and biofilms are inherently resistant to killing. So are tumors. So are tumors. So is that big lump in your breast or your neck or your prostate. That's what a biofilm is. Now look at biofilms. Look at picture number 38. Look at picture 38. Look how fascinating this is. If you have a biofilm, if you're chronically ill, no matter how sick you are, this has to fascinate you. You may be a lawyer. You may be an accountant, a business owner. You may drive a truck. You may be a construction guy. If you've got chronic infectious disease of unknown origins, this needs to excite you. When it does, you're on your way. Graphing people, watching people, working with people, sweating with people, bleeding with people, suffering with people who are sick is a calling of its own. And I can tell you, after 20 years of doing it, there is one marker, and only one, that tells me a person's going to heal. And that is when this gets interesting. When your disease is interesting, when your disease is a source of creative inquiry, when you are asking God, the divine, things you can't see but can feel to enter into you, to aid you in enhancing your own precise bodily sensitivities along the way in that long, dark, stormy night of infectious disease et al., then you're on your way. Then you heal. It's that simple. The art of holistic medicine, the art of holistic medicine is to say what I'm saying in 1,000 different interesting ways that come down to the same thing. Get happy and go for it. Don't succumb to these imprints. Your disease is in your head. And that disease is only a manifestation of what was in your head a long time before that disease was there. And it doesn't matter if that disease is some exogenous agent, some chemical that came in from the outside. You're going to have to give yourself a brain lift to beat it. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. You're going to need to listen to this show again. If you're out there, if you're sick, if you're symptomatic, if you've succumbed, if you've got a chronic symptom that doesn't fully debilitate you, only partly, listen to the show again and again and again. And it doesn't just relate to infectious disease. It relates to all symptomology, all disease. Anyone that's suffered more than a few weeks with something starts to get eaten by their negative patterns. Look at this biofilm. This is fascinating. Look at number one. So we're looking at picture 37. You're on number one. That's just a little microbe. It doesn't matter. Prion, parasite, bacteria, virus. Now you see that sort of like turquoise, bluish kind of goo on some of those microbes in one, now in two, now in three. Now it's developing its cocoon. Now look at four. Now it's got a much bigger cocoon. By the time you're at four and five, it's laughing at the herb. Oh yeah, I heard that Medici show. Those MDs. This show is not an attack on MDs. There's a place for medical doctors. There's a place for pharmaceutical drugs. There's a place for surgeries. I'm amassing an argument to give vaccines a place. I'm sure there's a place for vaccines. In fact, I have no doubt. Maybe not the ones we're giving people, but there's a place for everything. This is not a show about the MDs, nor is it a show about the holistic people. It's a show about what builds your sense of objective reality. How do you arrive at truth? How do you absorb what's useful? And right now, what's useful is this. Diseases that are microbially related cocoon themselves, and they laugh at the herbs. They laugh at the antibiotics. Picture 4 and picture 5 is laughing at the anti-infective herb you thought you took. It's laughing at the antibiotic. It's laughing at that thing that you bought that breaks biofilms from your nutritionist. It's laughing at it. It's laughing at everything we throw at it. In the end, rest assured, it'll just be the microbes. So you ever see those James Cameron flicks? You know, he goes down into the Marianas Trench, or those Jacques Cousteau, or that thing where they find these lakes, these underwater lakes in Antarctica. Somebody was telling me about one of these documentaries this week. Fascinating stuff. And there's microbes there in pitch darkness in lakes under thousands of feet of ice in Antarctica. There's microbes down there. Believe me, the microbes are going to outlast us. And they're smart. That's why. And adaptable. So once these things are plugged up in biofilms, the only thing you're going to bring to it are the things you bring to breaking biofilms. Otherwise, look what happens. They encase themselves in biofilms. Those biofilm sacs break, and they seed more infection. This looks very much like a metastasis. In fact, it is. Infectious disease, especially of unknown origin, needs to be thought about biofilms bursting after days, weeks, months, and years of fermentation, seeding new areas. The way a disease spreads is it finds more terrain that's defunct. And yes, if you're new to the show, you may be tuning in and saying, well, gee, what do we do about that? I'll answer it in one quick sentence. All 232 of my shows is what you do about that. But I won't be self-serving here. Everything you do for your health with any healthcare practitioner is what you do about that. Oh, okay, now I got it. This is what you have to get. You have to get that once you decide to not focus on the biofilm and focus on your health, can you take that to that long, dark, stormy night when you're up in pain? Or when you have no sex life, or when you can't get a job, or when you just don't look good, or when you're aging faster than the rest of the people in your neighborhood or family or a church. Can you really turn it into a creative inquiry? Because that is what you're being asked to do. And if you can't do that, then you don't heal. If you can't do that, you don't heal. You cannot just go through the motions. You cannot just listen to someone's cookbook recipe for your illness or your chronic symptomology. The truth is, what you have to bring to a biofilm are the exercises of health so that you can communicate with your soul. Oh boy. Now we're getting into that toxic spiritual land that has no place in science. Well, why don't you try that one on for size? Run on down to Kaiser Permanente and tell your infectious disease specialist that you don't need the drugs because you're going to get on the other side of this infection of unknown origin by getting in touch with your soul. You see? You see the point? And yet, if you really look at it, the soul is asking for compliance or coherence with the autonomic nervous system. The soul is asking for the medium through which the soul can affect your physiology. The soul is asking for the medium to facilitate relationship with your physiology, with your immunology, with all the healthy chemistry that's intact in the human organism. Optimal function is about a relationship between your soul through the autonomic nervous system. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I don't know, you know, I don't know where you're going to get it this straight. I really don't. I don't know who delivers a better perception of process than this show. If you've got loved ones, friends, relatives, have them listen to this show to get their head on straight, because that is why you fail. God's children suffer not for lack of faith, but for lack of knowledge. Lots of people have faith, but you have to have knowledge. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007 if you need help, especially in understanding infectious disease of unknown origins. Not for a diagnosis, not for anything medical, not to treat your disease. I don't do anything like that. I create health profiles for people about the day-to-day. And if they listen, their bodies heal the problem, not me. I'm a facilitator. If they listen. Lots of people don't listen, because I'm only one guy. We're part of a minority. Look at this. Look at this. It's 2015. Just check this out. Go to the top here. Biography. Go to the top. Biography of Antoine. And I pulled this out of Wikipedia. Life and career. External links. Look at life and career. So go to the top. Biography of Antoine. Go to the bottom, life and career, and go to the last paragraph under life and career. In modern day, Antoine's work continues to be promoted by a small group of alternative medicine proponents, also known as germ theory denialists. Who's denying the germ theory? Not me. I'm not part of a small group of alternative medical proponents who are going to tell you that Lyme disease is not caused by something you get from a tick. I'm not going to deny that. I'm going to exalt that. And I'm going to exalt Pasteur. And I'm going to exalt Robert Koch, or however you say his name. I'm going to exalt all of it. I'm not a germ theory denialist. But look at this. Look at how this thing is given such minor press. And that's my point. This is as large as Pasteur. This is as large as Pasteur. Men who had equal credentials, men who had equal insights, Koch, Metchnikoff. Metchnikoff won the Nobel Prize. His work on probiotics, on good bacteria in the gut, as being as fundamental to health as anything the germ theory's ever produced. And he ran the Pasteur Institute, Metchnikoff. You have very, very credentialed people back then. And this is how they get marginalized. Wikipedia is not a bad little quick one. It's pretty darn accurate. I donate to Wikipedia. I think if you just want to get the cliff note on something, so you can kind of like zoom in on the micro stuff, it's a great little tool on internet. But look at this. Small group of alternative proponents, germ theory denialists, including these maniac advocates on alternative theories of cancer who dismissed Pasteur's germ theory. You want to know something? That's true. A lot of terrain people would dismiss Pasteur. And that's the problem. This dogma on both sides of the fence, that's what has to die. But you bet Antoine's ideas were unjustly ignored. You bet they were ignored. This is as big as anybody. Ethel Humes, a lost chapter in the history of biology from the 1920s. We don't write books like that. So much of this stuff we don't write books on. Now, something's happened in holistic medicine that I want to address. And that is, while holistic medicine is on the side of the terrain, what they're doing is they're making diagnoses on antibody tests. When these antibody tests that may show in their version of reality positive don't really correlate with symptoms. I'm going to get back to that in a second. I said a mouthful for some of you. But let's talk about diagnosis of microbes. There's a couple of ways, there's a bunch of ways to do it. I want you to go all the way down. I want you to go all the way down to picture number 20. Go to picture number 20. Diagnosis, microscopy. When you're looking for something that sounds like a microbe, one thing I'm going to add to this picture, one thing you've got to do is get to the symptoms. Microbes give you symptoms. Microbes talk to you. Microbes have patterns. Microbes make you feel like something inside you is on a cyclic pattern and it's talking to you, like something's inside you. But nobody can find out what it is. You want to see it under a microscope. Number one, microscopy. This is picture 20. Then you want to culture it if you can. Then you want to get antigen detective tests if they're available. Antigen, the microbe is the antigen. Then you want to see if the antibodies, now I'm going to get on this antibody detection stuff in a minute because I have a real problem with it in the way a lot of people in holistic medicine use it. And then there's all sorts of little sneaky tests specific to the microbe. So if you got a bug, one thing you have to look for is symptoms that are bug-like. Right now, I know a lot of the audience is listening and going, I can't believe it. I can't believe somebody said this. If you got a bug, a lot of times you know it because something inside you talks to you. Now, there's a real scientific statement, huh? But you know it's true. It is empirically derived. The statement that a microbe talks to you is empirically line up 5,000 people that have microbes where no one can find the microbe, and they'll tell you, don't tell me I don't have a microbe. I've got microbe-like symptoms, but we can't find it. And they're locked in that ugly place where doctors can't really find it. And yet they know something's there. Well, if you study the history of microbiology, it's very obvious. We just can't find the test yet. But in the classics, it's the microscope. Then you culture it. Then it's antigen tests, then antibody tests. Now, these antibody tests, if you go to picture 17, these antibody tests are going to show your IgMs, your IgGs, your IgEs, your IgAs. Let me say this. If somebody's looking for a microbe and the IgMs are high, take that finding seriously. But if somebody's telling you on the basis of one test, an IgG, or a series of IgG subtypes, that you've got some sort of a microbe and it doesn't correlate with symptomology. Again, it doesn't correlate with symptomology. Really think twice about what you're being told. Go get second opinions. If you're working with a holistic practitioner, I don't care if it's a holistic MD or a holistic nutritionist, and somebody gives you one of these IgG tests to tell you you're positive for Lyme or whatever, go to infectious disease in a classically trained hospital. Get to the best that money can buy. Go to the Rochester Clinic. Go to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Get to the best. And take those IgGs, lay down your symptomology, and ask a classically trained infectious disease if on the basis of an IgG you can trust the diagnosis. And you're going to be surprised to find out what you're going to hear, which is throw it away. You need correlation of symptomology with IgGs. IgGs show past infection. And we don't know how much infection. And we don't know when. And we don't know what it means. And it's a weak argument. But don't take my word for it. First correlate it with your symptoms, and then take it to a classically infectious disease. Holistic medicine's taking these antibody tests and on the basis of the IgG alone, telling people they have things that they don't have. Now, PCR diagnosis. PCR is genetic testing. Does the microbe leave a genetic print, a nucleotide print? You've got about 7 or 8 different diagnostic techniques. And what happens when you do them all and you can't find anything? You end up listening to this show again. Because you got to get off the microbe and on to the healing. Get off the microbe and on to the healing. Microbial medicine is changing rapidly, I assure you. Mark my words. Over the next 50 years, we are going to see an expansion into our understanding of diagnosis. And all we're going to be left with is everything and anything can cause everything and anything. And while Pharmaco invests gazillions of dollars, it's always going to be behind the curve because these microbes have intelligences. And the only intelligence you're going to bring to compete with it is the intelligence you can derive from your soul. And that's what cleansing is, and that's what stretching is, and that's what all these exercises in my 232 shows are. Exercises to get to the soul, the ray gun of the soul. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Come in, make the appointment. We'll switch on your ray gun. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.